As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Good afternoon, James. How you doing?
Good. You're sounding chipper.
Yeah, it's sunny. It's getting to spring. I don't know. There's lots
Oh, boy. Wasn't it cold today?
Yeah, but like at least the sun is out. That makes me happy.
Sun's out, guns out, Jonas, as I always say.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a lot to talk about, obviously. A lot has happened since we last recorded the podcast, including you bringing the guns out for the gun show. That's something you do, wear a cut-off t-shirt.
Yes.
So
maybe not in February, but yeah.
Yes. So we'll get to some of the stuff going on with the Leafs. Obviously, the goaltending we should talk about. We should talk about that game they played against the Blues, the first game without Morgan Riley. No John Tavares, no Mitch Marner in that game. We'll talk about Tyler Bertuzzi. But I think we have to start with something we haven't touched on the podcast because it happened after we recorded the podcast, and that's what happened in Ottawa. I'm guessing like a lot of people are tired of this. I'm a little tired of it, but it's like it's a big story. We haven't touched on it. And now it's kind of played out a little bit more. We know the suspension. We know they're going to appeal it. Where are you at with this story? Are you over it? Are you done with it? How do you feel?
Has there ever been someone said, like, what was the last suspension that got talked about this much?
I mean, not even the Perron one got this much chatter. That's Toronto. I don't think, like, I know, I can understand people having a reaction to what Sheldon Keefe said about it being the Leafs in Toronto, but I think that's true. Like, I don't think that that's BS. Do you?
Well, I think the truth is that it has more eyes on it than anywhere else. Like, if that play happened in an Arizona Anaheim game, and it was, I don't know, take your pick. If Logan Cooley did that to, you know, Radko Gudas or something, like how many people would be talking about that?
Nobody. I mean, would there be a suspension? I don't know.
Probably. I mean, it would get play on the highlights because, you know, a guy takes a slap shot in an empty net and then he gets hit in the head. I mean, like that's, but it would die down quickly.
Yes, that's true.
But you know, it's a rivalry game, Toronto in Ottawa. It's Morgan Riley. It's a suspension that people thought was a lot of people thought was longer than they were expecting. And there was the in-person hearing and there were some elements to this that just made it kind of a firestorm.
Well, we were messaging about it after the game, and you said to Joshua and I, 3 to 5 games. And I was thinking, like, are you nuts? Three to five games for that?
You were saying it might be a fine or something. I was like, are you nuts?
Clearly I was. Like, I thought at most, like, a game. Because, I mean, it wasn't, like, obviously it's a cross-check. He ends up hitting him in the head. I don't think he's trying to hit him in the head.
It doesn't matter if he's trying to or not, though, right? Like, there was, you know,
he's not injured. He literally has no history. Like, I thought that the video explaining it, it really pushed it in a lot of, like, it was hyperbolic in a lot of senses to me. I don't know. How did you find their explanation? What do you make of five games? Like, does it not matter that he literally has done nothing in his career to this point? Does
it matters, but it doesn't, not? It does matter, but it doesn't mitigate the whole thing, right? Like,
does it mitigate it at all? So, like, if he had history, would he have gotten 7 games, 10 games?
Yeah, potentially.
That's silly. Okay, go ahead.
The biggest thing that the league didn't like is that it wasn't during the course of play. And I think what they really don't want to see is players score a goal and celebrate and get, and there's a dirty play that happens on them afterwards. Like, let's say it's Trevor Zegras and he's doing the Michigan and someone doesn't like it and they take his head off. I mean,
yeah, but that's not the first incident of a guy scoring a goal in a fashion that the other team doesn't like and the other team reacting. Like, that has happened. I can't recall it off.
Reacting would have been fine. Like, I knew right away as soon as I saw it. I can't remember what I tweeted. I tweeted something like, I don't know what Morgan Riley was thinking there or something like that. And, like, Leafs fans went crazy and I got attacked and, like, I was getting all kinds of stuff. But you can't put your stick in the guy's head. Like, you've got, like, Morgan Riley should have just dropped the gloves and punched the guy in the head. Because
that's better. That's okay.
It is better.
And they implied that. That's insane. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That, well, if he had thrown his stick on the ice and just clocked the guy, we're okay with that. That's good. That's fine. How does that make sense?
Well, I mean, like,
I mean, the league is literally allowing fighting. They're allowing players to punch each other in the head.
That's what I was going to say.
And then they're also saying, but no, but, like, if you almost cross-check someone in the head, that's, we're not going to take that shit. Like,
well, he did cross-check him in the head. It wasn't an almost.
Okay. I'll disagree with you on that. It comes up. And
I would have given Riley, you know, 3-4 games. That was my initial reaction. I think that that's probably the right number.
That's appealing.
I don't agree with you. I mean, Perron got 6, and I think the Perron one was...
The Perron one is way worse.
Don't you see what they're saying, though? They don't want people to be...
Yes, that was in their...
with a dirty play... after a goal.
Not a hockey play, not in the course of the game.
It's not a hockey play.
Sure, yeah. That's why it's a game. Like, I don't understand how it gets to 5.
Well, the problem, Jonas, I think if you... And I don't know. I mean, we're talking to Leafs fans, so I don't know how many people are going to agree with me here. But, like, if you allow that, it's a slippery slope. Like, what if the next time it's a harder cross-check to the head, you know? Like... It reminds me a little bit of the Nazem Kadri plays, like, where in the playoffs that he got suspended.
Those
for.
Were
like,
in just, the course of play, though.
Right. But just going over the line to an extent that makes no sense.
Yeah, but that's also another example of the league basically making up something. Like, you could really make a case with those suspensions that they went over the line with those suspensions. Like, when had we ever seen a player? I mean, maybe we have. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. A player just gets suspended indefinitely for the rest of the series, like, for something that's within the game. Like, there are penalties, James. Like, we have penalties in the game for a reason. You get a penalty for you doing something.
Yeah, wrong. But if you do something really egregious, then you get more of a penalty.
Right. And I think one game would have been a penalty. Like, I don't understand how it gets to 5. Like, I know you're saying, like, the disciplinary history, it matters, but clearly it doesn't. Like, I don't understand how it doesn't matter. Well,
Perron had no history and he got 6 games for what he did. So.
But 6, and even that, honestly, is probably a little excessive, but that one's worse. Like, that one,
I mean,
is,
like, Jonas, honestly, like,
more predatory. He has more time to think. Like, that's,
I'm for stiffer suspensions. Like, if the league wants to make a change and suspend for longer for things like this, I'm fine with that. I mean, the biggest, well, because I don't think that this crap should be in the game. I don't think you should be cross-checking people in the head.
Take out.
So the only, well, I mean, I'd probably be okay with that too, but I mean, that's a whole other can of worms and a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
You know, like, if there was an injury, imagine what the suspension would be. Like, if there was a significant injury,
if he had gotten hurt, then I can understand 5 games. Like, that makes more sense to me. Like,
yeah, it would be more than that if he was significantly hurt.
Okay. I get that the idea for supplemental discipline in that case, because it didn't happen during the course of the game and all the other stuff. But, like, they made it sound like in that video that, like, he had this well thought out plan. Like, it literally all happens in, like, 5 seconds less. Like, it's just bang and it's done. And, like,
Well, if he cross-checks him like a little bit lower, like a foot lower, and it's like upper arm.
But do you really think in that situation, James, like he is thinking like, I'm going to nail this guy in the head. Like he's not.
No, like, but it's like when you, instinctual. It's like when you get like a speeding ticket or something. Like, do you mean to do it every time? No, but you know, if you go over the line, then you get punished. Like that's, the rule is not what your intent is. It's the same as any kind of penalty during the course of play. If
they like said in the explanation, the intent was they thought like, I can get you the language. Go ahead. I'm going
to
find the.
Well, quote. I mean, the intent was to confront him and to, you know, out of retribution or anger over, you know, what he did.
Retribution. Yeah. They said Riley had sufficient opportunity to choose to engage him in a different manner or ensure that this cross check is delivered solely to the body.
That's what I'm saying. If he cross checks him 6 inches or a foot lower, then
this is an intentional, it might not be anything. Strike to opponent's head using the stick as a weapon to exact retribution. Yeah, like he definitely.
I think it's good that they're punishing sticks to the head more. Like there was an edict. The league had an edict in 2021 where they said they were going to punish cross checking more than they had in the past, and they showed a bunch of videos. And I think that that's good.
I guess what this gets at is the problem with their system. Like no one knows what the hell anything is.
No.
And they also have like, I don't know. I mean, I've never thought super hard about this, but like, I don't know why George Parros is handling the supplementary discipline out. Like, I don't know. Like he's obviously a smart guy. I think he has like an Ivy League education. Like I just don't understand the whole system, how it's supposed to work. Like maybe it just would be better if it was like an outside the system kind of person who's not a hockey player. Would a rubric help? Like if you do this, you get this many games. If you have history, we add this many games. Like it's just so,
I like nobody that.
Knows what the
rubric.
Yeah. Good, I like the word, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, like there that. You go. Yeah. I think that they, what if they just had like a big wheel they spin or like a die that they roll. And then that's
an awesome idea. Yeah. I like that.
I mean, maybe that's what they're doing already, but
you get a fine.
I just think that I think they should get rid of all, you know, blows to the head just because like,
well, then you have to get rid of fighting. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah. Well,
like that's just ludicrous. Like,
for don't you think a fight though is two willing combatants looking at each other and dropping gloves and making the decision. It
doesn't matter. Like if you're saying,
different. It's a lot different than someone cross-checking you in the side of the head.
Yeah, but if we're saying like we want to protect the head and we don't want people to get head injuries, maybe we should stop letting people punch each other in the head. Like, especially with everything we know about the impact that has on people. Like, you can't have
it both ways. To their credit, Jonas, I mean, how many fights are left in the league? Like, there's hardly ever. Even, I think Ryan Reeves has 2 fights this year. Like, how many fights do the Leafs have as a team this year?
Why are you allowed, like, this is another thing that I don't really love. Like, why, when you think a hit is bad, are you just allowed to go and attack the guy and punch the guy out? Like, I don't think is that not retribution? Is that not intentionally trying to hurt someone? Is that within the course of play? Like, I don't know.
That would be an instigator penalty and potentially a game misconduct.
But you don't
very rarely get suspended for a fight.
Right. Because there's a penalty for fighting. Just like, we're off on a tangent. Like, I don't care. Like this doesn't matter to me. I just think I can understand why the Leafs and why Leaf fans would be frustrated by this, because it just doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
All right.
I also don't love. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I got some trivia for you here. Guess how many fights there have been in the NHL all season. We're like 50 games in. Guess how many fights in the whole season. Or if that's too hard, I can give you some other things to guess. What about this?
100?
193.
Wow. Okay. That's more than I thought, but yeah.
Guess how many fights the leading fight getter in the whole league has this year. Like, these numbers are so far down from what they used to be.
4?
It's 8. But.
And who is it?
And it's Liam O'Brien.
Oh, I love that guy. Yeah.
He's still with Arizona.
Yeah. He's a hard hitter. That guy is a little bulldog. But yeah.
Yeah. It looks like he's in Washington this year. And Andreas Engelund also has 8 fights. Brady Tkachuk has 6. He's the first big name to show up in the list. And the team that has the most fights is Minnesota with 27 this year.
Right. That makes sense.
I don't know how many the Leafs have, because this site does not show me the whole list of how many fights.
Well, I mean, would Ryan Reeves be leading the team in fights? Like, does he have any since the start of the year? Like, there's no, to your point, like, it's not a big thing, but I don't, I just think that's kind of like talking outside of both sides of your mouth or whatever that saying is. Anyway, is there anything else like you want to touch on about this? Like, I didn't love this. I mean, all the takes like were kind of exhausting. I'm sure people like don't like our takes or whoever's takes, but like one of the ones that I didn't love was like, oh, there's a wrong way to score into an empty net. It's like, come on, like, don't bullshit. Like, you know, that was taunting. Like, that's what it was. And you do something like that, you're bound to get an opponent annoyed. It happened. Like, I've seen that in basketball where at the end of a game is over, shot clock is off, and a guy goes and dunks. And there's a reaction because it's like, the game is over. Like, what are you doing? So
I think like even in like beer league, if someone... Yes. Shot like that into the empty net, there would be, yes, there would likely be a response. Yes. Did you see that video that the How To Hockey guy on Twitter? I retweeted it. It was a video of like, here's some other potential ways that they could score into an empty net, and he was like doing like the canoe and like poking the puck with like it was a pool, like a, with a pool cue. The stick is a pool cue, and
no, I didn't see that.
Doing a Michigan on the empty net and stuff. I'll send it to you after, but it was, I was laughing. Next time the Leafs play the Senators next year, what they can do that into the empty net against Ottawa and see what happens.
Yeah, that'll be another brawl. We should talk about, before we get to that game they played against St. Louis, and we can talk about the Ottawa game as well, or any other game you want to talk about. Not an insignificant injury, obviously. Like, I think if you're ranking the most important players, if he's not one, he's two or three. What do you make of like how they move ahead? Do you like what they've done in terms of the pairs? Do you like?
Are you talking about Riley?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have an injury.
Did I say injury? Sorry.
Yeah. He said not the most significant injury.
I meant absence. Absence. Sorry. What do you make, James, of how they've handled this in terms of the pairs, in terms of what they're doing in the power play? Just trying to make up for Riley's absence, because like in different seasons, I mean, you could even look back to last year when they played without him. Like, they were a better team last year. They're in like a more precarious position in terms of the playoffs, obviously, this time around.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, they played one game and it was the St. Louis game. And, you know, I heard some people arguing that St. Louis really just didn't show up and play very well in that game, which
they were not good.
I mean, they had won 7 of 8 and they had blown out Montreal on the weekend. And I thought the Leafs were going to be in tough, you know, no Tavares, no Marner. You looked at that lineup and it's like, it looks kind of like a preseason, last game of the preseason kind of lineup, or not even the last game, I guess, like probably one of the like middle games of the preseason. And it looked like it was going to be a tough night for them. And then it just wasn't. I think that maybe that was their best game of the season. So
it's up there for sure.
We'll see if there's any like momentum from that for them, or if that was just kind of like St. Louis had an off night, and I don't know, it's hard to say, but I don't have any problem with the pairings. I mean, I think it made sense. What they did largely, it was, you know, you and I were talking about the power play. I was asking you like, I was actually asking you who's going to be on the top power play unit. Cause I was like, oh, maybe I should pick someone up in the hockey pool.
You bastard. That's why you were asking me.
Well, sort of. Yeah. But, okay. Someone already has Jake McCabe on their team. So it's like the Athletic hockey pool is like the deepest pool I've ever been in my life. But I was just wondering like if it was going to be Logan. I was like, yeah, maybe he's worth picking up for a few games. But I was also curious, and I said to you, I was like, well, I think I might think about going 5 forwards. You know, like I don't love any of the defensemen out there on the power play. The one that I think would probably do a good job would probably be Timmins, but he isn't available. He's got mono and is out for probably a while, which is bad luck for him because this would have been finally his opportunity maybe to play some more games. But I think if you went 5 forwards, and now it would have been hard to do in the game where they're missing Marner and Tavares. So I said this before that point, but I'd like to get Domi on power play one when there are opportunities, because I think that his playmaking skills, I think, could really help the power play. And I don't know if Sheldon Keefe would ever go 5 forwards. I mean, they kind of dabbled in that.
Well, can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
I asked Sheldon Keefe about that before the game against St. Louis, and he said it is something that they were thinking about. And they specifically wanted McCabe in there because of the style of penalty kill that the Blues had in terms of being really aggressive. and they wanted to replicate the Riley left shot with the McCabe left shot, I still think it's something we might see. Like, I don't think that that's off the table. I wouldn't be shocked. Like, I know you mentioned Domi. I think that there's something to that. I don't know where he fits in terms of like position on the power play, because he usually plays on one of the flanks.
Yeah,
yeah, you move Marner up to the top. Point. Yeah, that makes some sense. I would lean to Bertuzzi and try to stick Bertuzzi beside the net. They have Tavares now kind of operating more in the bumper. And I'd try to like just get Bertuzzi to somehow get a goal and like maybe start to feel good.
I think Bertuzzi wished on a cursed monkey paw or something, because I don't think he's ever scoring again. I just think that that's so
wild,
He's getting so many chances, and you know, like all of his underlying numbers have been really good, and just can't make anything go in. So it's, I don't know. Has he talked about it much? Like, has he?
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah.
Yeah. He's saying what you would expect him to say. I thought like the most interesting thing I heard from Sheldon Keefe about it actually today, recording this on Wednesday before they play Philly the day before. And he said one of the things he kind of told Bertuzzi is like, you maybe got to practice some of the stuff a little bit more, like work on your shot and work on some things that way. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is last week when I wrote about their secondary scoring issue, that was maybe the first time all year what I saw after practice was Bertuzzi doing exactly that. Like, I have not seen that at all. And he was, you know, working with Guy Boucher. He was kind of positioned around the net in the slot. And he told me afterwards, it's like, they're trying to use him more in the bumper spot in the power play. And he wanted to work and get some touches on that. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, work on that stuff. And I think Keith, I'm reading between the lines of what he said, like, maybe you should do that like more and like, and kind of push your, do everything you can to prepare. Like, I see John Tavares working on everything all the time. I see Austin Matthews working on everything all the time. Same with Nylander. Like, some of these guys, like, it doesn't just happen by accident.
And do they have a skills coach, like, now that Belfry left?
They still have a skills team. Like, it's not the same. Like, Patrick O'Sullivan works with a lot of the guys individually. Oh. Haley Wickenheiser is out there from time to time. They were out there today. So, like, I think that that's something he could do to put himself in better positions. But James, like, I know they're talking him up and everything. He doesn't look like the same player he did in Detroit. Like, it's not even, he's a different player now. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's confidence. And I raised this point in my story, and Keith brought it up today, actually, that this is not a one-year thing. This is basically what happened last year. He didn't score a lot in Detroit. He didn't score a lot in Boston. Like, and so you start to wonder, is like, is this what he is now? Is he just not going to score a lot? I don't know.
Well, I don't think he's getting $5.5 million on the open market in July 1. So, And I don't think he's going to come back. I mean, all the Leafs can hope is that he finds a way to break through. It's interesting that an NHL coach would say, maybe you should practice, you know, how to put the puck in the net a little bit more. Like, that, they would even have to say that.
Some guys just don't do it. Like, it's just not part of their routine. Like, I brought up, and you were around a bunch in those days too. Like, Phil Kessel, literally, like, the practice would end, he was gone. And like, he was so talented that it didn't matter. Like, maybe it would have helped him, but like, for other guys, it matters. Like, you kind of got to do everything you can to maximize it. Like, those cutbacks you see William Nylander do in a game, he works on that. Like, I see him working on that all the time. Like, that doesn't just happen by accident. Like, Mark Master did a great job, I thought, on one of the broadcasts a few weeks ago, where he showed Austin Matthews working on that one time. He worked on it. Like, it just doesn't happen. Like, so yeah, like, I think you're
practice,
right.
Practice like you want to play. Is that the saying? Something like that?
Yeah. And honestly, like, there just are some nights where he just doesn't look like he's in the fight. And like, when he's in the fight, like, you can really notice it. Like, he's kind of like a burr in the ass. And like, I don't know.
I wonder if you saying ass means that this gets an explicit tag on it or not.
I think I already swore. Sorry.
You did?
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, I missed it.
Let's take a break, and then there's a bunch more to get into.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So the Leafs are at an interesting point on some other fronts. Wait, let me give you an opportunity. Is there anything you want to talk about? Because I have my whole list and I just want to make sure I'm not ignoring something that's important to you.
Well, I haven't loved the way they've looked in a number of recent games. Mm-hmm. The Ottawa game, they were not good. No. But it's funny, you know, they're 5-2 in their last seven games. You know, if you go back to, you know, winning the Winnipeg games before the break. And so, I mean, the record's not bad. They're playing a lot of weaker teams. They've got Philadelphia, Anaheim, St. Louis, Arizona, and then they got a tough schedule with some really good teams.
Yeah, it gets brutal, you know, after that for a bit.
Yeah, they go on the road Vegas, on the road Colorado, home Vegas. There's an Arizona game. Then they get the Rangers at home, Boston at home, Buffalo at home, on the road in Boston. So, you know, add that up. It's, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of 8 games against, you know, some of the very best teams in the league. And it's going to be a real challenge for them.
Well, and then you look the rest of the way. I'm just looking at the rest of the schedule. They play Carolina twice. They've got Edmonton. They've got Florida. They got Florida twice. They have Tampa twice. They have New Jersey 3 times. They have Detroit, who's like hanging around the playoff race. Like, I mean, this was a story on The Athletic, so I'm sure people saw that, that they have one of the harder schedules in the league in the second half. So
I'm just pulling up where I believe Dom's updating that strength of schedule every day for the remaining games. And the Leafs are down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the 6th most difficult schedule the rest of the way. Yeah. And so far this year, they've had one of the 5 or 6 easiest schedules in the league so far.
Yeah. Well, and now they're getting to a point where it's getting a little hairy with injuries, which hadn't really been a thing for most of the year. Like, they had the odd injury on defense, but like now, I mean, injury plus suspension. You don't have Riley. They were missing camp for a few games. They don't have Yarncroke, and probably won't have Yarncroke. You know, he's now on LTIR, so he's not going to be back for a while. He's missed, I believe, 5 games, so he has to miss 5 more. So he's probably, you know, a couple weeks more away. Joseph Woll looks like he's getting closer, so that's helpful. Martin Jones is now hurt. So the schedule is getting harder. Injuries are starting to crop up. I mean, that's, you know, there's going to be a trade at some point. There's not that much time left until the deadline. I wonder if all this stuff, how close it's getting, like, I'm guessing you don't change your plan, but like, do you try to attack it more urgently, do you think?
Maybe, but you need another team to want to do that, right? I think what's happening here is the asking prices are really high and the buyers are just trying to wait it out until the prices come down. And, you know, so I don't know. I've been asked this a couple of times by different people, and it's like, I don't know if the Leafs can speed it up. You know, it's just what's happening on the market right now. And yeah, there's been a couple of trades. There hasn't really been a defenseman that's moved yet, right? I mean, I think that...
Well, Zadorov way back.
Right, right. I mean, Drysdale, but I mean, that wasn't really like a... That wasn't like a buyer-seller situation. You know, well, Calgary wants first-round pick for Tanev, and Toronto doesn't want to give up the first-round pick. So, you know, it's there's not really a way to resolve that. I mean, to your point about finally having injuries, moving into a tougher part of the schedule... The other thing, too, is that Detroit's played well, and yep, they're coming up behind them. And all it would take is a team like right now, New Jersey's on the outside looking in. And all of a sudden, that could matter, because if the Leafs are in the wild card, all of a sudden, they don't have to just worry about their division. They would have to worry about the teams in the other division, the Metropolitan in the Eastern Conference. You know, a team like New Jersey gets hot. They are only 4 points back of the Leafs. Almost every other, every other team in the playoff race is beating them on the tiebreak, which is the regulation wins. So they're not a lock to make it right now.
Yeah, and I think that actually the playoff picture is actually kind of part of this whole thing too, with some of the stuff you were talking about with trades. Like, there's a lot of teams that are probably on the fence. Clearly, like, do we sell? Do we buy? Like you mentioned, Calgary. Like Calgary, they've been here like a little kind of of late, like 5 wins the last 10, but like they're right around the playoff picture despite like selling some pretty, you know, important parts. They gave up on home, obviously.
They have a 33% chance of making the playoffs right now in the West.
Yeah.
They're like, in this cluster of teams, like one of Calgary, Nashville, Minnesota, Seattle, St. Louis is going to get in.
Right. So like if I'm them, James, like I'll just say like, you don't want to meet my price. Cool. We'll just like keep trying. Like we'll just keep doing our thing. Like maybe we'll make the playoffs. Like, I don't know if that's the best strategy, like given where they're at, like they could use the assets, but like Seattle is a good example. Like they have some people on that team that I look at for a team like the Leafs. Like I wrote about forwards and we could talk about that in a second, but like if they're going to be in the picture, like maybe they don't sell, or they don't sell unless like you make them a really good offer. Like they're just like, I've scoured all the rosters, James. Like there's just not a ton out there that you're just like, oh yeah, there's like a lot of good. There's like, there are players that would help a team like the Leafs, obviously, but I don't know. Like it's kind of, eh.
So the Leafs currently have a 95% chance of making the playoffs, according to our latest number. But the most likely position for them to finish would be third in the Atlantic, which they're at 50% chance of finishing there. The next most likely position would be in a wild card spot, 23% chance that they finish there, or actually more than that, because they could finish fifth in the division and be in a wild card spot. So, yeah.
Well, so that kind of brings me. I did want to get to the goaltending situation. But let's talk a little bit about some trade possibilities. So I wrote about forwards and specifically centers that could help the Leafs.
The Leafs are looking for a center right now. Like I think the perfect deadline in their mind is a top four defenseman, yeah. Ideally someone that can play with Morgan Rielly and a center, probably, you know, I mean, obviously like a third line center who's good defensively is what they need.
Well, so I can ask you if there's anyone that sticks out for you that you really like. But the first thing I did want to check in with you about that was kind of posing problems in my mind when I was thinking about some of these possibilities is they just don't have a ton to trade. We know that. And it's like, what if, like, you look at Adam Henrique as an example, what if Anaheim says, you know what, like Sean Monahan got a first, like maybe we don't get it. We don't want a first. Like his cap hit is bigger. He's older. But like we want a second, or I guess what I'm getting at is the Leafs don't have a ton of assets to trade. And if they need to use some of them to acquire a defenseman, how then do they acquire a center as well?
I don't know. I mean, if they're trading for an impact defenseman, maybe they move a defenseman out. I mean, we talked about this last week, but I don't think it's out of the question that someone like Lögren could be in the mix on a trade, especially if you're getting someone that has term on their deal. Like you wouldn't trade Lögren for a rental, but I could see that happening. I mean, this is a really important stretch for Liljegren, where he's getting a chance in the top four. I don't think he looked very good against St. Louis.
He did not.
I mean, he might have been one of the only players that didn't look good against St. Louis.
Well, and it's not. I mean, we mentioned some of the reasons that he wasn't on the first power play, but like he doesn't kill penalties like really at all. Like he's like just a fill-in option if one of the regular penalty killers is in the box. Like, there's just, I don't know. Like it really does feel similar, like we talked about, to like Dermott and Sandin, where it's just like, yeah, can he get there? Yeah, I don't know. But is there a center out there that you really like for them that makes sense, like contractually, price, fit? Is there someone you really like?
I kind of like Boone Jenner. I think he would be great. You know, he's having a good season for Columbus.
Yep.
I think he's better than his contracts. Is he 3.75 or something like that?
3.45, I believe.
No, I think it's more than that. But
3.65. Anyway, it's in that ballpark.
He would be. You know, he can give you some offense. The other guy I mentioned to you who I kind of like is Bukestad in Arizona. Again, like really, really cheap. I think he's making $2 million. He's got some term on the deal. Size, played for Edmonton in the playoffs last year and scored some good goals. And I could just see a fit there. They don't need someone who's a world beater. I don't think that they need a top six forward. Like, I think they've got enough options. They need someone they can build another line around. They need someone to like, they need a better David Kampf, basically, you know. David Kampf just, I mean, he's unfortunately, like, you know, David Kampf is making the kind of salary that he should be able to be that player, and he's just not. So
yeah.
They need someone that can build a third line around, whether it's, you know, if you had the only thing with like someone like Jenner is I think it's for sure going to cost at least a first round pick for sure.
So and more, I would think, like, he's their captain. He's signed for two more seasons, I believe, after this one. Like,
and they really like him. Like, the organization's super high on him. So it would take a lot, I think, to get him out of there. I just getting someone who's a veteran NHL player, who's brings some physicality and some good defensive play. And I think that's what they need more than anything.
I mean, the appeal of that, like with Jenner, is like, he is under contract. He fits, like you're talking about, what they need. But like, I'm not sure I'm spending the farm on like he's, I think he's either 30 or 31. He's not fast. Like, he is signed, so like that helps you beyond this year. But like, I'm not sure I'm spending all my assets there. Do you know what I mean? Like, the only way Columbus is selling him, I would think you make them take the offer. Like, the offer is too good for them to pass up. And like, what is that? Like, I don't. Yeah. So that's why. And Bukestad, that you mentioned, like, he's an option. Like, he's slow. Like, I've never like been a huge fan, but I mean, like, you're not picking from a great pool. I like Wennberg. Like, I kind of think he makes sense. He's like just kind of safe and boring. And like, he kind of fits, I think, what they need.
People are getting excited here listening.
They honestly, that's part of what they need. Like, they just need somebody. Like, the problem with him is like, he's just not going to give you a ton of offense. And like, obviously they already have problems with like secondary scoring.
Wennberg also makes more than Jenner. Yes, and is he UFA?
Yeah, he's expiring. And like, right. Seattle is still in the playoff picture. He's their number two center. So
they're barely in the playoff picture though. Like, Dom has them at a 14% chance right now. So like, they're barely hanging in there. I think if you're them, like, they should probably go for some assets and retool a little bit. Like, I don't think that they're going to be a threat in the West.
Yeah, I think that's right. They made the playoffs last year. You're right. Like, that's the smart organizational play. But yeah, I really think, I mean, you were on this like 2 years ago, like, Henrik would fit in a lot of different ways for them. But
someone go back and listen to the shows from 2 years ago, because I don't think you liked him. But
just because like he's slow, and like, they already have a slow center in Tavares. But like, I've been watching them a lot this year. He plays really hard minutes for them. And like, he isn't fast. He still isn't fast. But like, he can still score. Like, he's on their number one penalty kill. Like, the Leafs can use that. He can win draws. Like, I've come around on the idea, especially because like, their center situation hasn't gotten better. Like, it's worse. So,
I mean, this has been a need for years that they need more center depth. So,
well, and they obviously went out and traded for Ryan O'Reilly last year, and like, there just isn't Ryan O'Reilly this year. So,
right. Well, there is, he still exists.
Oh yeah. He's still alive. Yeah, that's true. He's still alive. He plays for Nashville. But obviously he wanted to be in Nashville, which is his right. So the goalie situation, I think, is getting a little more interesting. Joseph Woll is inching back. He's not going to play Thursday. I wouldn't think he plays Saturday. Maybe he'll play next week, maybe in that St. Louis game. I don't know. Like, Martin Jones is hurt. I don't know where this is going. Like, I have absolutely no idea how this is going to play out. Like, what do you think happens here?
I think you carry three goalies until you need the cap space. So, you know, and Jones is number three. They need to get Woll some games just to, you know, get him ready and see where he's at. But then again, Samsonov's played well. Like, what's Samsonov's save percentage?
He's been a little more
leaky. He's been a little,
That's the word. Leaky since the All-Star break.
Yeah, like, but I mean,
he didn't have to face anything in that St. Louis games, and the two games before that, he was not very good. So TBD.
Wall's coming back from a really tough injury. He's missed a lot of time. He's a young goalie. He doesn't have a lot of experience. They're gonna have to be willing to, you know, it could be some tough outings for him getting back into the mix, right? Like, you can't expect him to come back in and be a world beater right away. So I think you share the crease between Samsonov and Wall, and you probably go, I don't know, maybe 60-40 Samsonov and Wall. And I can't see them acquiring a goalie at this point. They've got three guys. Like, I don't think that's going to be in part of the equation. Their other needs are bigger, and they just have to hope that one of the three gets hot and can play well in the playoffs. And the tough thing for them is if they do, like, let's say they are able to add, I don't know, Tanev and Henrique, they might need the cap space where they can't carry the three goalies, and they might have to put Martin Jones on waivers. And you look at all the needs for goalies around the league, like, there's teams that are just desperate for a goalie. I think he would get claimed, even though he didn't at the beginning of the season. Like, wouldn't Carolina claim him right now? Like, look at Carolina's goalie situation, or New Jersey, or, I mean, there's teams that are trying to make the playoffs and make an impact, and Martin Jones could probably help them.
I guess, like, it's still to be decided, like, how these next few weeks go. Like, if Samsonov yes. goes backwards, like, you might get back to the place where you're like, we need the cap space, we put him on waivers, like, right? Like, he yeah. makes more. Like,
I didn't think of that, but yeah, that's potentially an option. Yeah.
Obviously, yeah.
But now he's played better. Maybe someone would actually claim him.
That's the thing. I still think it was a mistake that no one claimed him. I get, like, he was in, like, this terrible funk, but he was on an expiring contract, and some of these teams just had, like, nobody. Like, it wasn't that long ago that he was a good goalie. Like, I still think that was a mistake. I said that at the time. Like, and now he's turning around. Like, imagine if the Leafs had lost him on waivers. Like, he just got claimed, and, like,
well, if you're Carolina, just, you know, you've got Freddie Anderson's been out with the injury and on LTIR. You could. Well, yeah. He's actually not on LTIR.
I think you pointed that out. That was the issue for a lot of teams, like, cap space. They just couldn't.
Yeah, but I think what I'm saying is, I think Carolina had the cap space to pull it off, especially with Anderson. Like, if you put him on long-term injured reserve, you have the money.
Yeah.
So Carolina would have been the team that would make the most sense, you know. But I mean, there's like 25 other teams that wouldn't have the cap space. But then, I mean, what if you're a team like San Jose or someone who's dead in the water and not going to do anything? Just claim him, play him, and if he plays well, maybe you can trade him at the deadline, retain half his deal, and maybe you get a pick for him or something.
That's so smart. Yeah, that's the kind of thinking that more of those crappy teams need. Like, they need
I would love to be the GM. I'd love to be the GM of, like, a brutal team, like, assuming I had some jobs, because I would just do all kinds of wacky stuff. I would, like, claim as many guys on waivers as I could and then put them on the first line and, like, let them score some goals and then trade them away for something. And,
like,
at least
fatten them up and then trade them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know why. Yeah. Why doesn't Mark Lazarus, our Chicago writer, was writing about their deadline, and they have, like, they don't have anything to trade because there's nothing left on.
Well, forgive me, but they keep signing these guys. Like, why are they extending all these players? Like, I get they need players, but it's like, wouldn't it make more? Maybe
trade
you just them. Need
trades. Like, trade Nick Foligno and Jason Dickinson, and
yeah,
then
like,
sign them in the summer.
Use Jason Dickinson. Like, why? You know what I mean?
Well, trade Jason Dickinson to the Leafs, get an asset, and then sign him again in July. Yes. Bring him back.
100%. It's
but also you look at their bonkers roster. I know they're tanking, but like, why don't you just get a couple of pieces that you can move at the deadline that someone wants? Like, you know, for them, it's going to be like the Colin Blackwell sweepstakes, like, of guys. Like, they just don't have like anyone that they can move, which seems like a mistake in the position that they're in.
Yes. I mean, they do have like a million picks, but like, maybe you get prospects, like, you can just keep getting more picks and like, no downside.
I think it would be fun to, other than watching your team be crappy every night, I think it'd be kind of fun to run one of those teams and like try and find inefficiencies and ways to get better.
Well, you remember that Leaf season, the 15-16 season, where I don't know why more teams don't do this. They just went in free agency and said, like, we're just going to sign these P.A. Parentos and Daniel Winnix and who was the other guy? Mike Santarelli. And just like, with the express purpose of like trading them at the deadline and getting something back. And like,
it worked too, right?
It worked, right? Yeah.
They got a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing with some of these teams, like selling, like they should be trying to get as much as they can for anyone. But the problem is, like, a lot of these teams, like the crappy teams, like really, to your point, like with Chicago, like even San Jose, like they just don't have a lot that like contending teams can afford to take or would want, or you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, they don't have a lot, period. Like, end of story. Some people are probably listening to this and be like, you can't like claim good players on waivers. And like, but you know, Chris Johnston wrote for us.
Yeah, that was great.
Last week. Yeah, it was about like the best waiver claims in the last, what was it, the last 3 or 4 years or something. And it was like, the Coyotes got their starting goalie on waivers. Montreal got their starting goalie on waivers. Eli
wasn't Colvin Aiden Hill on that list?
Was he? I don't think so. Did he? He was traded, I think.
Was he traded? Okay.
You're testing my memory, Jonas.
All right, I'll look it up. Yeah, he was claimed on waivers.
But he's,
yeah,
really?
They just got their number one. Yeah, I mean, unless I'm reading this wrong. Yeah, I think he was claimed on waivers.
No, he. Huh. Well, he's not on Chris's list, so I don't know. When was he claimed on waivers? Like earlier?
Yeah, let me double check this one sec. But yeah, go ahead. Anyway.
I was just going to go down the list. Like, there's pretty useful players like kicking around. And that's another reason why. And this goes, I'm going to bring up.
He was traded. Sure, you're right.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, they.
San Jose.
It was a draft pick, right?
Yeah, fourth round pick.
Yeah. But yeah. You're making me crazy, Jonas. Yeah. Eli Tolvanen's on the top power play unit for Seattle, scored a lot of goals for them.
Well, and that was one. That was a good example of a guy like you knew he just needed a chance. Like, it wasn't working in Nashville, but yeah, continue. Sorry.
Josh Mahura with the Panthers, who's played pretty well for them. You know, there's interesting players that ended up there, and you know, Valimaki's with the Coyotes. Valimaki's an interesting one. Someone, I'm trying to think of the context I saw it. Oh, I remember. I can't remember what writer pointed it out, but the Flames had a chance to get Mark Stone from Ottawa. Remember when they were doing the Mark Stone sell-off sweepstakes?
Yeah.
And the breaking point for Calgary was they didn't want to trade Valimaki in that trade to Ottawa to get Mark Stone. And then they ended up just waiving him, like whatever it was, 2 or 3 years later, and losing him for nothing. And that's part of, like, the talent evaluation of what you have on your team is so important, because, you know, if you don't get Mark Stone, who's been obviously great for Vegas, because you're protecting a defenseman that you don't really want. And forgive me, it was another writer that wrote about this and pointed out that I want to say it was Thomas Drance that did it, but it's a good example of, like, you don't want to like hold on to these eggs in your basket that might not end up being anything when you're a team that's going for it.
Well, I mean, Cloak and I were literally arguing about that at the game yesterday. Exactly that. And I don't want to speak for him, and I won't get into the argument here because he's not here to explain himself. But that was kind of my point with him, is like, we were talking about Minton and Cowan, and I was just saying, like, I would trade those guys because, like, I don't know what the hell they're going to be. And like, the team right now is built to win. But anyway, that's a separate story.
Well, yeah. Even like Liljegren, like if the organization thinks Liljegren is only going to be a third pair defenseman and that's where he's going to top out at, you might as well trade him, because you can sign third pair D for $1 million, $1.5 million. And, you know, and I know that would be painful because he's a first round pick and there are expectations for him. That's where, like I said, the talent evaluation is really, really important, because if you still think he can be a top four D, you keep him for sure. But if you don't think he's ever going to get there, then you might as well get something for him. And I mean, we'll see what happens with Rasmus Sandin and where his career goes. But, you know, it could be something we could look in 2 years from now and be like, they're lucky they went and got the first round pick for him.
Yeah, he plays. I watched them the other day. He plays all the friggin' time. It's crazy how much he plays for them.
Yeah. Well, they don't have a lot, right? Like,
yeah,
that's another team, is I'm not really sure what they're trying to do other than get Ovechkin goals. Like,
they're in a tough spot because they have all those older players and like,
yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to cover before we go?
Huh? Did we talk about everything? What about, you know what we should talk about? We should talk about the man of the hour in the game yesterday.
Oh, Bobby McMahon.
Bobby McMahon.
What a crazy
thing. I believe last week we went through all the free agents and talked about should they re-sign them or not. I think we were down on Bobby McMahon. I've always liked him. He's one of those guys that's like a great story. He's kind of like, I don't know, he's like one of those guys like Joey Crabbe or something like that, where you look at his backstory and it's like, how did this guy make it to the NHL? And usually the answer is just like sheer perseverance, you know? And I hope that Bobby McMahon gets a little bit more of a chance after that game. I don't know if you think that that's a crazy thing to say, but like, I'd like to see him not with Kampf. I'd like to see him play like 11 minutes of a game instead of eight. I'm not talking about putting him on the first line or anything like that, but I just like him as a story. I like him as a person. He works hard. He's taken the long way. I think he's got a little bit more talent than people think he does. And that's what you saw in that game, is some of the talent that he has. And he's kind of like, in some ways, like poor man Zach Hyman a little bit, the way that he plays. And I'm not saying he's going to be Zach Hyman.
Very like, poor man Zach Hyman. Very, very he, like.
He had 21 goals in 30 AHL games last year. Like, he's, there's some ability there.
Zach know? Hyman is like, that's a little. I know. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
I know. Okay, like a bankrupt man.
Yes.
Zach Hyman. he's got his pockets turned out. But like, kind of like, the way he skates and his size and the way he goes to the net, when you watch him with the Marlies, you can see the comparison a little bit more, because he looks more like that player. Like, he just,
yeah, it's just straight, a different
straight ahead.
But to your point, like, yeah, maybe instead of playing him with Kampf, like, you give him a shot to play with, like, for now, like Domi, like, see what that, like, give him an opportunity to play with someone who can actually make plays, and like, maybe that changes something. Keith hit on the important point with him. He just hasn't found a role. Like, what do you do? Like, if, like that famous Office Space scene, like, what is it you do? Like, what is your thing? Like, I still don't know that I could tell you what his thing is.
He's got to be really hard on the puck and just driving the net and playing net front and just being physical. And I mean, I know he's not a bruiser. He's not a guy that's going to fight, but I don't know. He's like one of those like straight ahead players that
he needs to be like 10% more asshole. Like, a little bit, yeah, more. And I don't know, maybe that's not in his personality, but like, you know what I mean? Like, if he was really, every time you, like, Cal Clutterbuck comes to mind, like, where you just feel him every time you're out there, and like, you're right, like, physically he's built, and like, you just don't feel him all the time. And like,
he's not a guy that, yeah, I mean, let's look at it, like, even going back through to Junior, and he's not a guy that takes very many penalties. Like, the Marlies last year or 2 years ago, he played 61 games and had 16 penalty minutes. Like, he's not going to drop the gloves.
He doesn't kill penalties. I think, I mean? Like, what is your role here?
But he should, I think he's a fourth line player. Like, if they waived him, he got waived at one point this year, right? And cleared. Yes. Like, I think if they waived him again and you're San Jose or one of these other crappy teams, like, he would be one of the guys that, yeah, I would claim and just like put him on your third line. And I mean, I know he's 27 years old, but
I take it back.
I would re-sign Bobby McMahon next year. Yeah, he convinced me with that performance.
Yeah, okay. I mean, would I rather play him in a game, in a playoff game, than Reeves? Like, yes, 10 times out of 10.
How about Ryan Reeves giving the whole big speech about make hockey violent again, and then he gets completely rocked in the game by...
I can tell you, don't think that that's going over well with the team. Like, I don't.
Well, I heard that that's I wasn't
thing they love.
I wasn't there, but I heard that they didn't want him to talk about
that. And I don't blame them, to be honest. This was a whole debate at the practice today among some of the media. Like, I just don't think it helps them in any way. But that's like kind of who he is, right? Like, that's part of the package you sign up for. Which
didn't they
is
want
like,
that though? They wanted the dressing room to be louder. They wanted him to take some of the attention off of, wow, you know,
that's great.
Draw some of the dress up in the scary costume and jump out of the box and make the videos. And
when they get healthy, that's going to come to a head. Like, I mean, maybe they won't get healthy. Like, there's always injuries, but they're going to have to figure out where this thing is going. I don't know what they do.
I mean, you do wave them.
Yeah, that feels like, we've talked about that before, that feels like eventually where this is going.
I need
like,
to write about
with this stuff, James, like, especially like if this is going to become a thing where like now there's off ice, like you're kind of getting annoyed with that stuff and like you're not really helping on the ice. Like,
well, I'm sure the team hated him saying he was healthy when he was on LTIR. No, like, I'm sure too, yeah. like because what if the league looks at that? What if they get fined or like something happens as a role? Like, he's saying I'm healthy, but they're like, that's like circumvention if that's, yes, what's going on.
I mean, it literally is. Like, he said that basically after his first practice or the first week of January, and he was on IR for like two more weeks after that. So,
right.
Yeah. Like, if you're like, you really, I don't know, like, he's got to be careful with that stuff because, like, if you're not really contributing on the ice, now you're becoming like a distraction off the ice. Like, do we need that? I don't know.
We only have a few minutes left, but I'm curious, like, without Marner and Tavares, and Nylander was missing from practice today too. Yeah, what did you make of what's that?
He's sick now too.
Yeah, it's going around. You better be careful. Maybe you want to wear a mask in that dressing room when you're going to practice. Oh, I was going to say, what did you make of the lines that they used? And was there anything that you could take away from what they did? Like, I thought that Robertson, Domi, Bertuzzi looked pretty good. Do you think that that's something that they might keep together and look at a little bit longer? Like, maybe that becomes the third line?
Yeah, so I guess then the question is, like, what is your second line? Like, Bertuzzi, like that, Bertuzzi, Nylander, Tavares' line has probably been, like, what has been their best line all year? Like, is it that? Is it Nyes, Matthews? Like, I don't know that they even have a line that'd be like, that's
well, it's like Matthews line. And whoever is their best line. Whoever's. Matthews, you know, even in that St. Louis game, like, Matthews didn't break it open, but if you looked at the underlying numbers, he was at like 95% control or whatever. Like, every time he was on the ice, the game was super lopsided.
Yeah, the only thing is, like, we've seen that before where it's like there are injuries and like Domi had that game where I think Matthews was out and he looked mm-hmm. pretty good. It just hasn't really stuck. And part of it is like ice time. Like, you're just playing more. Like, how many minutes did he play in that game? Domi played 18 minutes, which I don't even have to check. That's the most he's played all year. He's actually playing more. He was playing
McMahon
more.
McMahon played 13 and a half.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that do you have any idea if the sick players are going to be back for the next game?
I don't think they know. I would imagine, like, based on what Keith said, that they're going to see how things, like, how those guys show up on Thursday morning.
Well, it sounds like they can't keep food down, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've all been sick. Like, you know how it feels. Like, one day you wake up and you just feel a bit better and, like, you feel like you have the strength to do stuff. And then there are other times you wake up and you're like, I still don't feel good. Like, I still can't play.
Well, so, maybe someone will have a flu game that we can talk about on next week's show.
Well, the problem for them now, James, is they're getting into a situation where, like, it's getting a little hairy, and that's why they had to end up putting Kalle Järnkrok on LTIR, because, like, they need people, right?
Everyone needs people, Jonas.
Yeah. So. All right. Everyone needs people.
Pontus Holmberg, I'd like to, you know, if they have lots of guys out, I would like to see him given a little bit more rope to do something too. Every once in a while in a game, there's flashes of him being something more.
Yeah, when I was kind of figuring out what they were going to do, like, before the pregame warm-up, I kind of wanted to see, like, Holmberg playing with Nylander. Mm-hmm. That was kind of what I was thinking. But then you get to the questions, like, who the hell do you play with Matthews? Like, who else besides Nyes? Like, they really don't have anyone else where I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, play, maybe you just play Gregor up with Matthews. I don't know, for a game.
I don't know. I'm
the Gregor experience is kind of.
Yeah, Gregor's out of fashion for me right now. I just, like, you can see why San Jose didn't keep him at this point.
And he's not even getting any chances. He had the chance the other night, but, like, he's not getting chances now. He's not scoring. He's not. Yeah.
He doesn't even look as fast anymore. Like, he's not standing out for. Yeah.
All right. Well, you can get a new subscription to The Athletic for $2 a month for 12 months when you go to theathletic.com/LeafReport. So be sure to do that. The Leafs have the Flyers on Thursday. Then they've got Anaheim on Saturday. Then they go on this weird road trip that Joshua Koch will be on. So, yeah, be sure to go to The Athletic and read all that stuff from him, from you.
There's
one else.
I don't know if you had a chance to read it yet, Jonas. There's a great story about the Leafs helping a beer league player that was playing at their practice facility, got his neck cut. That, you know, the crazy thing? That's the league that I play in. The league
is
that
it? That,
yes, that's my league. That's Chris told me about the story a couple days ago, and he's like, oh, it was Sunday at 4:00 at the Ford Performance Center. And it's like, wait a minute, what league is this? You know, because that's often where we play. And I have never seen, I've played 9 or 10 years in that league. I've never seen a skate cut in all those, you know, I've played whatever, 160, 170 games. I've never seen one before. So it was definitely a talking point for my team in the dressing room when we found out about that. So I got to buy a neck guard.
Yeah, you should. And it's so crazy. Like, the only reason, like, the league people were around is because they had a 2:45 practice because there was an all-star break.
They're never there when we play. Never. Most of the time that practice rink, like, can you imagine what it's like on a Sunday night at like 8 o'clock? Like there's like literally no one there. So like if someone gets seriously injured, there's you've been there Sunday at 8 o'clock at night? Like there's nothing there. It's just some beer league games. And so anyway, it's great that the Leaf staff was there and they were able to help him, because it could have been a really tragic situation.
Yeah, really scary. Great story. So go read that at The Athletic. All right, James. We will talk next week. Goodbye.